Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Gregory Melville and Susan Fox and Kathleen Bromage.
Welcome to Seasons. I'm Marisol Castro.
And I'm Chef Plum.
Hello, Plum. Your hair is particularly plummy today.
It's very purple, right?
Aubergine, even.
You know what it is? I'm not sure if it's actually purple or the gray is sticking out more. I can't figure it out.
You know what? Hopefully, in the next 47 minutes, we will get to the bottom of this mystery.
The whole show today is all about my hair. I can't wait.
Well, it's about your hair and cooking with fire. Thank you all for joining us and listening. We have a great show today. We're talking about carnivores. We're talking about grilling. Meat, fish, vegetables, and it's appropriate because this is a big grilling weekend.
Well, hey, it is, and we're getting close to Memorial Day, and you know what that means. It's grilling season, and we've got one of the most fun guests you could have on the planet to help answer some of those grilling questions that you may have. Christian Stevenson is known as DJ Barbecue. He's a friend of mine. We've spent a lot of time with him through podcasts and talking, and a fantastic cook. He's a YouTube cooking star. He's a sought-after barbecue expert on the festival circuit in England. He wrote a book called The Burger Book. So you know this guy's got lots of advice for listeners when it comes to grilling great burgers.
And I have to tell you, I'm looking at a picture of him right now.
Ma'am.
The man knows how to wear a pink shirt.
He crushes the pink shirts. Not only pink shirts, wait till you see the spandex he wears.
Well, I have to draw the line somewhere. But listen, the phone lines are open right now if you want to ask for some advice from someone who's made thousands of burgers over the years. Or maybe you just have your own grilling tips you want to share. Join the conversation. The number is 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR.
I think we should jump right into it.
Let's
and
do it.
Get down
Let's
to it.
Let's do it.
You got to get on here, guys, and help me welcome the one, the only DJ Barbecue, a.k.a. Christian Stevenson.
Woo-hoo.
What's up,
Thank
brother? How are you,
guys? Oh, what an intro. Hey, now I'm really excited to hear other people's hints and tips on how to cook burgers. Because you know what? The beautiful thing about cooking, you're always learning. And that's why I just love hearing other people's hacks, you know, how to make that burger even better, taking it to umami land, you know?
Umami land. I love that. Umami land, right?
Fantastic. So it's very appropriate because here in the lower 48, and you know what? I'll even throw in Alaska and Hawaii
sure.
too. Why not? We're embarking upon the unofficial beginning of summer. I'm speaking, of course, of Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day, right.
But Christian, or DJ Barbecue, you are coming to us from across the pond. So first and foremost, thank you so much for making time out of your busy day.
sure, no problem.
And I can't detect the accent, but I see you have not picked up a British accent.
No, I mean, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and then, you know, eventually in a suburb called Gaithersburg, Maryland. Came over here about 20-something years ago, maybe almost 30 years ago. And, yeah. Took my passion to barbecue and went on YouTube, joined Jamie Oliver, got the book deals, and now it's just we make a living catertaining. You know, we cook beets and meats, and you know we build these destination places at festivals for people to come and party. You know, and I've cooked for like Fatboy Slim, Kate Winslet. Well, her husband Kate went vegan, so she didn't really eat any of my food, but she was there.
That counts for something.
She was there. Hey, I love the term catertainment or catertainer. We've talked about this before, you and I, but I love the term. Can you just explain that to everybody a little bit? What does that mean?
Well, it's what we do. The quickest way to someone's heart is through their stomach and their ears. And we have a banging sound system. We've built a food truck where you push a button inside and it looks like an Autobot. These big speakers pop out of this speaker box on top of this custom built food truck. And then we can plug bands into that. We have our own stage. So a lot of times, like if say, you know, burgers, you know, they take about 15 minutes to, you know, so if we've sold out of burgers, we need to entertain that crowd. So I'll just put on the theme song from Armageddon, you know, a little bit of Aerosmith, Steven Tyler. And then T-Bone, my right-hand man, who's the hairiest guy in the crew, he just jumps on the stage with a shovel or an axe and does air guitar and then sings to the crowd. And then it just goes on to a medley with AC/DC, you know, Bon Jovi, you know, all the classics. Yeah, he's also in a pirate metal band called Carry On. They just do Megadeth covers with pirate voices. So he loves the performance, but he's also one of the best chefs on the planet. He's the back of house for MasterChef and Great British Menu over here, which are two iconic shows.
I just want to point out, too, Marisol wanted to call me T-Bone for a long time as her tag team partner, but I didn't go for it. You know, it's Plum. It's simple.
Well, he doesn't like being called T-Bone. He hates it. His real name is Chris Taylor, and his nickname is Chops, but he couldn't find Chops on Instagram, so he changed his name to T-Bone Chops.
That's hysterical.
You know how in America we like to give people the nickname they don't want?
Of course.
Exactly. Mine's Plum. I mean, come on. If I could have picked anything, I certainly would have been a fruit if I could have picked my own name. Moving on. Hey, man, you wanted to bring Great American Barbecue overseas to England. How's that going? I mean, do they like barbecue there?
It's gone crazy. My barbecue is a lot Maryland. It's Appalachian. It's a lot of Carolina. You know, my flavor base. You know, we like tang. We like vinegar. We don't put sauce in our barbecue. We let the people do it. And because we spent 21 hours on that pulled pork sandwich and it's amazing. So we pride ourselves on just what the smoke and the rub does. And we can't cook enough. We sell out every day. I mean, that's why I had to add burgers to the menu, because you can't fast cook pulled pork. So, our menu at festivals is like an amazing cheeseburger, which we put suet in there to make it even juicier and fattier. It's like kind of our version of like maybe doing bone marrow.
Now you got to tell people what suet is, so they understand what that is, because that's incredible.
Well, it's just more fats. You're just grabbing fats and just injecting to make that burger super 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 juicy.
We
do about 800 to 900 of those a day. Same in pulled pork sandwiches. Or we do a thing called the piggyback, so it's like a nice cheeseburger with like a big handful of pulled pork on top.
You are making our mouths water. And before we get down this grilling extravaganza rabbit hole, I want to remind listeners, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the live call-in show of Seasoned, and we have the distinct pleasure of being joined by Christian Stevenson, otherwise known as DJ Barbecue. He's joining us from London. He knows all things barbecue. So call us up. Ask a question. Maybe you have a grilling tip you want to share with us. The number is 888-720-9677, 888-720-WNPR. Now, before you even start grilling, I have to believe you want to start with a clean grill. Yes?
Well, you want a or good not. Seasoned grill. No, you do want them clean.
You don't want it sparkling. You want it to have a little bit of gunk.
I basically just heat and an onion or a lemon just to a bit of elbow grease and a brush just to kind of get all the crud off. But, you know, a seasoned grill is a good grill. There's flavor in those walls, you know, especially with smokers. But, yeah, you want a good, clean, efficient grill. But then there's differences with how you treat your fuel. So if you're using briquettes, they need a lot more airflow. So you want to make sure all the kind of ash is gone at the bottom of your base if you're cooking out of a kettle or like a Weber style grill. But if you're using lump wood, they like more of an ash base to and it holds the heat and it causes them not to kind of get too much heat and cook quickly. So lump wood charcoal, ash base, and then the other with briquettes, you want to have it more clean and efficient. So there's a lot of different ways of setting up your grill, but the key to setting up a grill is just indirect. I never, ever have charcoal on my whole base. Never. I mainly do 1/3 technique or half and half. I just have 1/3 of that grill covered in charcoal. That way I have all these different zones for temperatures. You know, you can cook rest, get your sear, put the lid on, turn it into an outdoor oven. And that way you can just nail your food. But if you've just got this grill set up with just direct heat everywhere, where are you going to go? Especially when you're doing chicken and fatty foods and you get the fat flare-ups, you got nowhere to go. You need to goof-proof your cooking.
Well, so but that, just, that's not, I, that's, what about if you have a gas grill like me?
Well, gas grills, a lot of them have like, you know, you can do one side,
zones,
you can turn
yeah.
on and have the other side.
You're not gonna poo-poo me for having a gas grill, are you?
No, I started on a gas grill when I was 6 years old. I worked on that till I was about 14, and then I discovered,
the
Weber
charcoal.
Kettle.
Yeah.
So, but no, gas is cool. You just can't get the right heat with gas. You know, it releases hydrocarbons. It's great. It's easy, but good lump wood charcoal, you can have a hot grill in about 7 minutes. And everybody always says, oh, I can't get a grill hot enough, I just want the ease. I'm like, man, I got hotter coals, which you want that hot dynamic heat when you're doing a steak, when you're doing a burger. You need that, you know, that rage. especially when if you're doing like something like reverse sear, where you want to, you know, make that crust right at the end. You want that fire raging.
So we threw out lots of culinary terms there, lots of techniques. I just want to go back to that one, indirect heat. And I just want to explain what that is to people. It's having the coals and the heat, the main part of the heat on one side of the grill, and the other side has nothing. Is that right?
That's correct. You know, the one thing we always push is like just half and half. If you give yourself half the bottom of your grill, you know, it's got full on, you know, good heat, and then the other side, no charcoal.
Right.
And that way you can just throw a chicken over there, you know, put the lid on, roast a chicken, put a leg of lamb on there. You know, you can do your larger muscles, a slow cooked Swede, you know, get Swede or your kind of your big ones, you know,
totally.
Celeriac. Here's a killer one. Cauliflower. You guys like Old Bay. I'm from Maryland. So we love Old Bay.
Cauliflower on the grill is delicious.
Just blanch the cauliflower, make a butter with a bunch of Old Bay, and then just brush it on. And then, so you kind of hot roast it and then just put it over the, you know, indirect, take it over the heat and get that little kind of golden brown color. Oh my gosh. Mm. It is a party in your mouth. And it's a vegetable. It's nature's meat.
I love that. Hey, before we go to break, let's take one quick call, Christian. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it. We got Jim from Meriden. Jim, what you got for us today?
Hey, man, I love the charcoal tips. I'm curious about any favorite grill steak marinades. And my wife says I always overchar red peppers, zucchini, and asparagus. Any tips for grilling vegetables?
I think with the vegetables, you know, I like over grilling them. I put my vegetables right in the coals. I do a thing called dirty onions. I go straight in the coals, big fat Spanish onions, like the big white ones, just leave them there with the skins on. You know, they have their own wrappers. You know, they're going to pop like a volcano. That's great. And when you're saying about the peppers, I mean, that's how you cook the peppers. You char them up and then you just peel the skins off and you've got this beautiful flesh. I think you're doing it right. As for zucchini, we call them courgettes over here in the UK. So that took me a while to explain. I kept saying zucchini. But yeah, I mean, those, you know, with them, you just want to, I guess, give them a nice grill. But I think the indirect technique will just work for all veg. You know, you want to soften them up, but then you want to get that golden brown color.
And then what about the marinade?
Okay. Is everybody sitting down? Because this is the best marinade in the history of marinades, and it's the easiest one. It's the one my father grew me up on. And when I come home to see my dad every Christmas, he has a couple flank steaks or skirts sitting in a Ziploc bag full of, you know, Italian dressing. So, you know, your wishbone or whatever you got, or just the local grocery store's classic. And he has that marinating for, like, you know, one night, sometimes two, and then take it off, grill it. And to me, that is the taste of home. That reminds me of just coming home to Maryland, and I love it. So the Italian dressing, just a beautiful, tangy, you know, marinade for meat. And if you want to get a bit crazy, you can do what's called a bulgogi marinade. It's kind of like a sweet and tangy Korean-style beef marinade. And that's a really lovely kind of different flavor profile. But with meat, you don't really church up meat, you know, salt and pepper, you know, you let the meat do the talking. But with like tougher cuts, like, you know, flank and skirt, depending on where they are on the body towards, because sometimes you get bavette, which can be a lot more tender cut of, but it's still that same muscle structure. But I grew up, you know, dad was a greeting card salesman for Hallmark. So he was buying cheaper cuts, you know, and flank likes a bit of a marinade, you know, because it helps tenderize it. That's the beauty of the Italian dressing, because, you know, we weren't getting dry aged meat back in the 70s. So you can buy, you know, more, I guess, inexpensive cuts and do something more wonderful with them.
Fantastic. You know, it's time for a short break, but when we come back, we have the recipe for the ultimate cheeseburger that you gave us. It's going to be up on our site. And don't forget to give us a call. We're talking grilling steaks, ribs, chicken, burgers. You're listening to Seasoned. I'm Marisol Castro.
And I'm Chef Blum.
It is the live call-in show. We do this every Thursday. And to honor every the last Thursday of every month, sorry, Plum just looks at me like I had 10 heads.
I was like, did I miss something? Am I late? Am
yes.
I only here once a month?
Well, the people at PBS like me more than you, so every Thursday I've been coming here. the last Thursday of every month, we do this live call-in show, and you're going to want to call us because to mark the unofficial start of summer, we are talking all things grilling with none other than Christian Stevenson, a.k.a. DJ Barbecue. So give us a call, 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR.
So, Christian, we're so excited to have the time with you, man, and I appreciate you being here with us. But I got to ask you, when it comes to making burgers, I always talk about how important it is to talk about the fat content of that burger. And what I mean is when you see that ground beef in the store, that ground chuck, or the mince, as you call it where you live, they have a number by it. It'll say 80-20. It'll say, 85-15. Those numbers mean lean beef to fat content, right? And the higher the fat content is what I believe is fat equals flavor. The higher fat content, the more flavor you're going to get. Where's your head on that?
Well, correct. And, we're always taught, you fat's bad, lean meat, you want lean meat. And I have to tell my friends when we go shopping, they keep going for the 5% fat, 10% fat. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why do you want to make a dry burger? Minimal 20%. There's a burger chain over here. It's a small burger chain. And they do one of the best burgers, I think, going, Bleeker. And I can't tell you the actual number because I signed an affidavit. Yeah.
They're sitting outside watching you.
It's well over 30%.
Wow.
I just can't give you that number because it'll blow you away. And I've done a 50-50 mix. I think some paper towel company challenged me to make a really juicy burger. So the bag of meat looked like Wagyu, minced Wagyu, just really white. Oh, yeah. It was like just a little bit of red. And I had to make it like four times the size of a normal burger because it just shrunk because that fat melts. Renders. But oh my gosh, was it juicy. But yeah, I like minimal. Like I try to do 25-30% beef fat ratio, ground beef to fat. And then I'll add suet or I'll add some bone marrow. Like get some cold bone marrow, like have it sliced in half if you can get a hold of a butcher. And then just scrape out that bone marrow and do maybe mix about 7% bone marrow into the beef mince. That's a great way of adding lots of flavor and just more juiciness.
I'm so doing that. That's definitely going in my repertoire as well.
Sounds delicious.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna give you another one of Chef Plum's burger cooking tips, Midas. Are you ready for this one? This is one I learned.
Yeah.
I just picked this one up. And DJ Barbecue, I want to see what you think about this. I think people pack their burgers too tight. They push them together too harsh. And when they do that, there's no place for those juices to fall and rest. You want those little crevices, those little nooks and crannies inside, in between those little fat layers and the lean beef, for that fat to kind of rest in, to kind of keep that juice in. If you push it too hard, there's no place for it to go.
You don't want a hockey puck. You want fjords of flavor. You know what a fjord is?
Fjord.
Fjords of Norway. So
F-J-O-R-D.
You have these big, huge kind of these big cliff walls, or water cascades. Well, you want to create those nooks and crannies. You want it a bit more looser. So those fats render and they got someplace to go.
Yeah.
And they can caress and fall and cascade and create these, flavor waterfalls.
The fjords of the innards of a burger. I love
this.
Hey, I want to hear burger tips from our listeners. Give us a shout. 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-9677. Tell us what you do for your burgers. What's a tip that you could give for us? What else can we do with burgers? There's no right or wrong when it comes to them. I think the more you do it, the better you get.
So we're speaking about burgers. And can you tell us, DJ Barbecue, your ultimate cheeseburger recipe?
Well, I've got a couple, but I think the perfect burger, like the one that I make for myself, I make for the kids, I smash it. So I go really thin. I think I'm done. I'm done with the days. I do like a big fat burger, but the more I've done it, I kind of do more layers. So I'll go double, but I make them really thin. That way I can just get a really lovely crust on the burgers. And then I hit them with mayonnaise. Sorry, with mustard. Mm-hmm. So the classic French's mustard. So once you get your first sear, you flip it, and then you glaze on a little bit of the mustard, and then you flip it again and cook the mustard in, and then do the other side. And then that just adds even this beautiful sweet tang to that burger. You know, even when you know when you're a kid and you get a McDonald's burger, everybody wanted McDonald's when they were kids. I mean, of other fast food restaurants are available, and but it was that mustard, onion, ketchup,
you know,
pickle vibe, that sharp, that sharpness with the tang, and you know, it's a perfect pickle. You know, it is. Those pickle chips are amazing, and that flavor, I just want to put that one, like, you know, supersize it, supercharge it. And that's why I add the mustard glaze when I'm cooking it. And then a key to the good burger is toast your buns, because if it's really juicy, you got a lot of fat content, you want to create a little crust so it doesn't fall apart in your hand. You know, you want to eat that thing in full before the bun falls apart. Hopefully that bun ain't going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And then, so you toast your buns, get them all ready. And then when you cheese your burger, you know, get a cloche or get a bowl or put another frying pan over over your surface, so you create this super quick heated, you know, environment, so that cheese has more, you know, can melt quicker because you've got this kind of oven vibe. And then you put the top bun on, and you get a little squirt bottle or just a little cup, and you put a little dash of water right next to the burger and cover it again. And that way you can steam your bun. You get that kind of squeegee vibe. It's kind of like when you unwrap, you know, say like a Five Guys or one of those kind of burgers, wearing the foil, and they kind of have that squidgy vibe. It's almost kind of steamed. But that
vibe,
to me, is the perfect burger.
Man, I love that. And hey, I want to give Chef Plums tip number three.
Please.
DJ Barbecue just reminded me. Listen, when you're going to toast your buns, and nothing makes me happier than when someone talks about toasting my buns, I want you to take a little bit of mayo and put the mayo on the bun. On the toasting side, that little bit of mayo makes the biggest difference in flavor. I'm telling you, it is delicious.
Whoa, wait. So you're saying you put mayo on the bun pre-toast?
Pre-toast. Okay. Yes, sir. Pre-toast.
It's like doing that with a grilled cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing.
Exactly.
Delicious.
It makes a big difference.
Wow. Because, I mean, you know, I do white sauces. You know, I do the Alabama classic white sauce.
Delicious.
Just, you know, mayonnaise, vinegar, lots of cracked pepper, some lemon juice, some Worcester sauce. And I love cooking with mayonnaise. Everybody says, you cook with mayonnaise? Man, I make tomato pie.
That's
a mayonnaise and
cheese
sauce.
Oh, mayonnaise is delicious.
Mayonnaise is polarizing, but I find it delicious.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
No, it's my favorite condiment. Everybody asks me, what's your favorite condiment? And you think I'm going to say ketchup, but I'm like, nah, mayonnaise, man.
Dude.
That tang. I'm all about tang.
Put it on your buns when you toast them. Let's take another call here. Let's see what we got. All right, we got Charles from New Haven. Charles, what you got for us today?
Hi, I'm just calling about burgers, and so sorry to sort of roll into it.
No, do it. We love it.
My partner and I both come from an ancestry to tradition of kebab and of using different meats, especially lamb, especially.
Delicious.
And so one of the things that we do when we make burgers, especially when I make burgers, especially with charcoal, is I use different meats or different mixtures to get a different set of flavor profiles and texture. I especially am a big fan of, you know, a little bit of ground lamb, especially like some maybe a little bit higher fat ground lamb along with beef, which gets you that sort of like a nice mixture with maybe even different spices in there. Or sometimes like a pork and ground beef or a pork and a lamb, just to get sort of a contrasting sort of set of flavors.
Oh, that's a great idea. What a great tip there, Charles. Fantastic. DJ Barbecue, mixing in lamb with your mince, what do you think?
Well, this is great. So Charles just made some great I love this. So we have a burger in the burger book where we do lamb mince. So, you know, lamb shoulder got all that fat content. It's the same cut you would use for beef. You want that chuck, that shoulder. You want the fat content. But, yeah, we do lamb, and we chop in a little bit of chorizo as well. So you've got that super kind of spicy savoriness to go with the lamb. And you made a good point. That fatty lamb, that's one of my favorite fats. I love when you kind of render down lamb fat. It's just got that beautiful flavor, almost a bit gamey. It's just gorgeous. And then we top it with like an apricot salsa.
Mm.
So we chop up some fresh apricots and just make a little, you know, red onions, some coriander, some lime juice. And that kind of sweet sour with that savoriness of the mix, the lamb and the chorizo, is amazing. But I love your ideas. And also, you know, with meatballs, you know, which is just a burger that's not been smushed, you know, that's a great idea, is the pork mince and ground beef. I always say mince because I live in England and all my language is becoming English, plus my accent. But no, Charles, you're spot on, man. I love what you're talking about, man. You know the way.
That's awesome. Hey, let's talk to Matt from Avon. Matt is talking about some less expensive cuts of meat. Matt, what you got for the show?
Yeah, inexpensive meats. We know about, you know, hanger steak and flank steak, anything though maybe that you could turn us on to, that, because meat prices have gone through the roof. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we were to, say, hunt around at some Asian markets or, you know, find some new under-the-radar meats this summer.
Great question. Great question. Christian, what do you think? Some cuts of meat that people haven't heard of.
He already name-checked some great ones. I mean, so the cuts, there's some great cuts in the shoulder, and everybody thinks shoulder's going to be tougher because, you know, it's you've got the brisket that comes down off the belly.
Right.
So there's some beautiful stuff in that shoulder, you know, hanger, flat iron, Denver. Denver's a great cut. But then you can move towards the back, and there's actually a fillet muscle in the rump. The Dutch call it the kogel, or we call it sometimes here rump heart. So there's like a bullet-shaped muscle, and if you can get it out, if you can talk to your butcher, you can say, listen, I want that fillet, and you're paying for rump, but you're slicing into, you know, filet mignon. Because that's the laziest muscle in the cow. It's the most expensive muscle on the cow.
Right.
But there is a like version of that, but it's on the rump, which is, you know, always a couple bucks, you know, cheaper a pound, right, when you go a lot more cheaper than the fillet. So that's a good one. And there's also a thing called a spider steak that's near the rump as well. They call it a butcher's cut over here. It's what the butchers, and it's got a lot of fat content. That's a great one. But really, I just go back to what my dad did. You know, if we got a sirloin, it was like once every 6 months, if we got to have a sirloin, that was a treat. It was all diaphragm and belly, you know, those kind of cuts. And that's why, but the problem is brisket's gone up in price. That's the tough one.
Yeah.
So feather blade is a really good cut you can use for slow cooking if you don't want to do brisket. That's another great cut. But yeah, just dive into that shoulder. There's also a little muscle called called the faux filet. And it's called teres major. And it's like the second or third most tender muscle on the cow, and it's in the shoulder. And it's a beautiful almond-shaped little fillet. It's a gorgeous steak. But yeah, they're in there. You just got to – it's just getting that know-how to talk to the butcher and finding a butcher or a supermarket that can cut it for you.
Right.
That sounds delicious right there. I love all those cuts of meat. Let's go to Scott from Manchester. Scott, what you got for the show today? Talking burgers.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, listen, one of the things, you know, I've been cooking burgers forever, at least it seems like it. And, you know, I think those patty makers are probably some of the worst inventions ever had.
Because, amen.
They always the burgers down. But one thing I learned several years ago is to put that divot in the burger, especially the larger the burger you make. And I'm assuming that actually is it works for me. It keeps my burgers from, you know, becoming a ball. So you guys, I'm assuming you guys use that technique as well?
I have in my own cooking at home for sure. It's sort of that little scoop.
You press down, makes that little dimple into the center of the burger there. DG Barbecue, how about you? You ever do that technique?
Yeah, I mean, I've done it, but I really make mine really flat. So a lot of times that people smash their burgers on the plancha or their fry pan. Uh-huh. I really smash them and make them nice and flat, or just on a chopping board. You know, with the frying pan, or I'll use a book. I'll just make them super flat because I know what he's talking about. If I'm gonna do them right on the plancha, like just poosh, maybe on some really thin onions, like an Oklahoma style cheeseburger. You know, we get the onions first, really thin, and then you smash the burger on top. Oh. Then I would use the gentleman's technique. But I tend to really, because my kids are really picky, so when I'm doing it at home, I like to get them really flat and perfect because they just judge me so much because I've written a book about burgers, and I, you know, on a weekend I'll sell 3,000 burgers at a festival. So they're like, Dad, you know, don't mess this up. I'm like, okay.
Oh my goodness.
That's hysterical, man.
I know we're talking burgers, but surely there are other proteins that we can get into. And I wonder if you could talk to us a little bit about ribs. I know we mentioned brisket, kind of tough on the wallet, but what about ribs?
Yeah, you know, if you can get them, great. You know, it's a cheaper cut. Pork's always cheaper than beef and lamb. And I, you know what I've been doing a lot, Lacey? I just love baby backs because I can just do them quicker.
Yeah.
And the key is just gently cook those things. You want to render all the connective tissue. So I just put a tiny little fire on the far side of my Weber, you know, and I just throw a couple racks of baby back on the far side, just gently work them, you know, and after about 3 to 3 hours, 5 hours, depending on, you know, barbecue is done when it's done. And that's the key. Everybody always like, you know, when do I pull it? I go, well, as soon as you can get your thumb fully into that meat, you know, the meat starts soft. Then you slow cook it and it tightens. And then as it breaks down, it softens again. So you just about, it's about getting that touch, pushing your finger into the meat. Same with pulled pork, same with ribs. I was doing spare ribs for a while, but because I've got to get things done quicker, you know, I just went to baby backs. Now it's like my go-to thing. And we do a really fun recipe in Fire Food, the second book, where we do like a Szechuan mopping sauce. So kind of your classic mopping sauce. I use Szechuan peppers. Now, if you're not familiar with those peppers, if you bite on one, it's like a Novocaine for your mouth. It kind of numbs your mouth. And it's a really good one to use because then you can just use lots of chilies and make it spicy, but then you don't feel the heat until the next day.
Man. Hey, listen, Chef Plum's barbecue tip of the day, number 4, Marisol. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Here we go. This is something I just came up with, too, just to start saying these tips out here. But listen, when you're doing ribs, one of the things you got to remember to do, it makes things a lot easier. And DJ Barbecue, you can back me up on this. There's a membrane on the back of those ribs, right? It's a thin little membrane. You can take it with a pair of pliers, and you can peel it right off the back of them, or you can sometimes, if you take a knife and do one little thin slice, you can pull it off in two pieces. Taking that membrane off will make your ribs cook faster and be way more tender.
Interesting.
I mean, that's what I do when I want to cook faster, but a lot of times I want to cook easier. Okay. So I leave the membrane on for a little bit of just to kind of look after my food, so I can, if I get a bit lazy or I've had another beer and I come back over there, because it'll flake off and I'm eating the other side. But for ease of eat, it's a great thing to do. Take it off and you'll penetrate that meat. But I also look at it as a barrier. And I kind of, so a lot of times if I'm just a bit lazy, I leave the membrane on and just use it to kind of, you know, look after my food.
Yeah, that makes total sense. We want to hear what you guys do with your meats out there. Why don't you give us a call? Our number is 888-720-9677 or 888-720-WNPR if you prefer to use the letters on your phone as opposed to the numbers. We're talking to DJ Barbecue. He's got several books out. He is a grilling machine, all kinds of tips and tricks going on here. Christian, I want to just go back to that Szechuan mopping sauce. When you do the mop, when you actually make the mop, like you can use like an actual sponge or a grill mop, but can't you also just take a bunch of woody herbs and use that as well?
Yeah, I call them, you know, herb wands or herb brushes.
Yeah.
We actually use these at festivals. We do a whole leg of cow over a spit. So we use the whole that haunch with the rump. We make big vats of butter and beef fat, and we just on a big long stick, we just tie up tons of rosemary, sage, thyme, all those kind of woody, you know, savory herbs. And then the best way to do it for at home is get a wooden stick, you know, wooden spoon, and just go to the opposite side, tie some like hemp string or some string around a big bunch of herbs, and then push the small bit of the spoon, not the spoon bit, in there, and then will hopefully be nice and tight. And then just do like a butter, beef dripping, put some rubs in there, some spices, and you just got like a flavored butter like that. Or hot smoke roast some garlic and then squeeze that into the butter for a base.
If that isn't mop sauce, I don't know what is. We're going to take one more short break. Don't worry. There's still plenty of time to call in and speak to DJ Barbecue. We're talking grilling. Call us at 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR. Call us. We're seasoned.
Welcome back to Season. I'm Chef Plum.
I'm Marisol Castro.
And we're hanging out with the one and only DJ Barbecue, getting ready for barbecue season. There's grilling going on. Memorial Day is right around the corner. And we're going to jump right back into it. Christian, Mary is calling from Stanford, and she's got a question for us about burgers. Mary, what you got for us today?
Hey, guys. I love the show. I look forward to Thursdays at 3 o'clock.
Hey, we love you. Thank you.
I was wondering, should you season the chopped meat before you make the burger?
Oh, great.
No. It's a great question. And then I know a lot of people do that. You want to let the beef and the fat do the talking and then just hit it at the end. So salt, pepper, maybe a little bit of onion granules, garlic granules, maybe a dash of cayenne to add a bit of flavor. But really, a burger just should be seasoned at the end, before the cook. But not when you're mixing it. You don't want to mix the seasoning in the meat. You just want to, you know, hit it, dust it with that cracked pepper and salt. But sometimes to give it a bit more of a lift, I'll add a bit of onion granules and garlic granules. The same kind of stuff you put into like maybe like a barbecue rub, like an all purpose, just minus the paprika and the brown sugar.
Yeah, I agree with DJ Barbecue there, except
sprinkle,
for
so you would just sprinkle it on the meat.
Just sprinkle it on the burger right before you cook it. Just salt and pepper, but okay. You can just add a little bit of the other stuff to give it more more flavor, more tang, you know, more kind of. But here's a really good tip for grilling a steak. I don't put pepper on my steak before I cook it.
That's where I was going.
I just hit it with salt. Yeah, plum nose, man. Pepper can go acrid. And when you're hitting that steak with the right heat to get that crust, pepper can go bitter.
Pepper
so
will burn.
What
pepper
I do is
burn.
I just hit it. I hit it with a flake salt. Yeah, it can burn. Peppers burn. And that you probably remember that flavor as a kid because, you know, your family would just put pepper on steaks and you were like, I like it, but there's a bit of a bitterness to it. Well, try it without. So just put the pepper at the end because your steak's still resting. I mean, I rest my steaks for half the amount of time I cook them for sometimes,
absolutely,
especially if they're really big. So the juices go back in. But that's when I hit it with the cracked pepper and just give it a good dusting and then a little bit more salt in the end when after you slice it. And that is the perfect way to cook. But great question. Great question.
I agree with DJ Barbecue for the most part on everything there. With the burgers, minus all, what I like to do, though, is I finish them with the black pepper. I don't cook them with black pepper on there. I think you can really get
smart,
great flavors in that burger. If you focus on getting good cuts of meat, getting great fat content in there, you don't need to put a bunch of stuff in there. Salt it, put it on the grill, nice high heat, get a good sear on the outside, finish it with black pepper. It's outstanding. But there's no right or wrong. It's food.
It's food. It's nourishment. Yeah. I have to be honest. I'm a purist when it comes to a burger. I don't want bells and whistles. I don't want fancy condiment. I want salt and apparently not pepper until after it's off
when
the
it's
heat.
Done, right.
And I will take a toasted bun.
Yeah, with
I'll
mayo.
Do that.
Okay.
With mayo. With mayo.
I should have made that Chef Plum's tip number 5 for grilling. Don't pepper your burger till the end. But hey, Paul from Bristol wants to talk a little bit too about lamb since we definitely stoked the fire by mentioning lamb. Paul, welcome to Season. What you got for us today?
Thank you. Great show. I'm actually driving through Bristol right now.
Nice.
But I have cooked this beautiful cap of fat to it. It doesn't shrink that much on the grill, and it is one of the juiciest cuts of lamb that I've ever had, because I agree. I love cooking lamb on the grill. The fat and the flavor is just
nice.
Unmatched.
Nice.
Another point, I know you were talking earlier about how to take tougher cuts of meat and kind of make them a little bit tender. We're coming up on grilling season, which is also tomato season. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love to do with virtually any steak that I'm cooking on the grill is to just take the fresh steak, salt, and sorry I put pepper on it before I cook it, but salt, pepper, garlic powder, and then cover that steak on both sides with some nice thick, like half-inch thick slices of fresh tomato. Wrap it in some film and throw it in the freezer again for just 20 to 30 minutes. And it's not freeze the meat, but it freezes and breaks down the tomato.
There's so much science going on right now. Yes.
It helps to break down the meat before you cook it. And it also helps to bring that flavor and that salty flavor into the meat. And I'll tell you, it's as good as any marinade. And when it's tomato season, you just can't beat it.
Oh, my God.
So
okay.
Good.
Paul, this is fantastic. I'm stealing your idea. I'm going to give you credit for it. It's going to be Paul from Bristol Steak. This is a fan. Here's what happens. Tomatoes, when they get cold, the cell walls break. When the cell walls break, the natural juices come out of them, right? So as long as you have a nice garden-grown tomato, it's not a GMO tomato, because GMO tomatoes you buy from the store are actually injected with Pacific salmon genes, so the cell walls won't break because people put them in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. But that natural acid, that tomato starts to break down that steak. Christian, have you ever heard of this? This is fantastic, and I'm totally doing this.
I have not heard of it. And I've been frantically writing down notes. So
I know.
Paul from Bristol, I'm off to the superhero store to buy you a cape because you should be flying around now with that piece of advice. I love it. Thank
That's
you,
amazing.
Sir.
Paul, you might win caller of the day. That was awesome.
Yeah, but real quick, Paul, you mentioned the fat on that lamb sirloin. One of the best things I've ever eaten in my life. I went down to the Pampas in the south of Brazil to see where they raise the cattle and stuff, all these black Angus right above Uruguay. And I went into a gaucho hut because I was going to go cattle herding with the gauchos, with the cowboys over there. And to start the day off, they had a big fireplace inside the barn, and they had these big swords in front of the open hearth, just skewered lamb ribs, just mangled lamb ribs covered in salt. And there was just pools of fat just sitting there at the base on this beautiful stone. I'm like, I guess they don't care about health and safety in here. Anyway, this glistening, popping lamb fat, they took it off and they dip it in this thing called in farafa, which is kind of this, I think it's the cassava root or something. They make a flour with it. Okay. I don't like it. It's okay in some things, but when I popped that those little bits of meat with that glistening, you know, when the fat is so rendered and golden, it just melts in your mouth. And it's like, it is an umami Absolutely. Bomb. It's just the most, it's my favorite fat I've ever eaten was that lamb rib on the border of Uruguay. So Paul, you're talking my language, brother.
Man, and listen, I left Paul on the whole time. That's like, I mean, he went to caller of the day. You could tell I left him on the whole time. I didn't let him go. That was awesome. Paul, fantastic advice. We're totally doing that.
The lamb sirloins, there's usually like a half an inch or so of fat on them. It's a very fatty steak. But, I throw it on the grill fat side down to hit that fat with heat and then flip it over and remove it from the high heat and just let it kind of trickle down through the meat. And, oh, my God, if you can find them, it is worth the investment.
That is what's up. Paul, we're on the way. We'll be there tonight.
Paul made a good point. And one thing I think a lot of people can try is, say when you get ribeyes or that big fat on a pork chop or on if they leave a lot of fat on there, just cut into it, make little slices. And when I get a ribeye, I just cut into where around where the decal is and all that big kind of fat rib. And I just kind of do little slices in there. I want to give that fat a head start, make some nooks and crannies, create, little spaces so that he can get in there and help render it quicker. Because the last thing I want to do when I bite into a ribeye is bite into lukewarm fat.
Oh, yeah.
I want that. 100%. I want that fat rendered, popping, glistening, melt in my mouth, savory, awesome town,
Absolutely. Awesome town's a place to go when you're talking fat. That's for sure. Hey, we got a few minutes left in the show. If you want to get your call in here, now's the time. 888-720-9677 or 888-720-WNPR.
DJ Barbecue, while we were talking about lamb, it made me think about other proteins that we can grill, like chicken. You have a barbecue chicken and an Alabama white sauce chicken. What in the wide world of sports is that all about?
It's the recipe that could bring about world peace. So there's a place called Big Bob Gibson's in Northern Alabama, and Chris Lilly and Bob Gibson's that's their baby. They have big buckets of the white sauce. White sauce is mayonnaise, vinegar. I use cider vinegar because we have a lot of apple trees over here in the UK, and I love that tang. I squeeze in some lemon juice, a couple glugs of Worcester sauce, and the good thing about Worcester sauce is, It's umami in a bottle. It's got all the flavors that all chefs are going for because it's got anchovies. Anchovies is just whatever the flavor profile they want. So I got that in there and tons of cracked pepper. Then I sometimes put some chili flakes. Mm-hmm. And if you use say a Hellman's or a Duke's and all those, you can actually dip your chicken after you cook, maybe cook it halfway through, three-fourths through, and then right near the end, You can set the sauce, but you kind of want to go indirect because if you're making a fresh mayonnaise, it'll split the sauce. So, give it a little dip. But the way they would do it at the restaurant is after they've smoked the birds or cooked the birds, they just dunk the whole bird into the bucket of white sauce and then pull it out, throw it on your table, and that sauce sets. They give you some like a dipping white sauce. But I love barbecue sauce. But the problem with barbecue sauce is, it's got sugar, and people always want to put it on really early in the cook, and all they do is burn the outside of the skin because the sugars burn over direct heat. So you really want to either go indirect when you're doing barbecue sauce or add it towards the end so you don't burn it. You want to set the sauce. You don't want to burn the sauce. White sauce doesn't have any sugar, so you could add it a little bit earlier in the cook. If it's got the emulsifiers like your Hellman's and stuff, you're going to be fine. It won't really split, but it will split if you're making a fresh one. So just be careful. But yeah, it's a great way of bringing tang.
This makes me so happy.
I have a tang tooth, I call it, instead of a sweet tooth.
A tang tooth. It's
probably because I drink too much beer.
Hey, that white sauce is great on everything. You know what else is great on? I actually make that almost exact same sauce, and I put it on fish. I love to sear scallops and finish it with that Alabama white sauce. Brother, great scallops with white sauce, delicious.
You so you glaze it on the halfway through the cook, or do you do it like at the beginning, or when do you do it?
Yeah, great question. So I'll sear the scallops off, get really fresh scallops, get a nice hard sear on them, right? And then I'll finish it with a little spoonful of sauce on top of each one. Mm-hmm. And then I'll put some of the sauce actually on the plate as well, and then plate the scallops up on top of that sauce. It is so phenomenal. You think about the butteriness, the umami we talked about before, the scallops
so good.
Mixed with the tang of those of that sauce, it's next level.
You know, I always say with scallops, you don't want to church them up. You don't want to do too much. Mm-mm. That is one thing I will do because I like to keep my scallops quite pure. Whenever people do like cauliflower puree or butternut squash puree, I'm like, I don't want to taste the puree. I want to taste the squash. I want to taste the scallop. But if I can do anything to bring more kind of savoriness to that scallop, you know, like garlic, butter, salt, pepper, all the classics that you do on it, just to let that sink. I'm writing this idea down. So I got this idea. The tomatoes, the frozen tomatoes that aren't GMO, and this bit of advice is great. Thank you, guys. I've learned a lot today.
Listen,
oh, wow.
It's a good food conversation going on, right?
Before we wrap this fantastic hour up, last thoughts on veggies. Any of them more forgiving to make on a grill than others?
You know, I think like probably one-fourth of my books are veggie. I love cauliflower, shawarma, you know, Swede, celeriac. First thing I do when I light up my grill, throw onions right in the coals, you know, go dirty onions, peppers. If you're going to cook for friends, just get every vegetable they got in that aisle. Cause you know, everything likes being grilled, chicory, onions, you know, zucchini, it all loves a bit of live fire. And if it's like a harder vegetable, like say a carrot, blanch them first, you know, give them a blanch. Here is a great technique. My favorite thing to do is I smoke potatoes. So I smoke bake them. So I just get a bunch of potatoes, cover them with olive oil and some sea salt, flake salt, throw them indirect and just give them, you know, that time until they're soft. And I'll char up loads of scallion. We call them spring onions here. Just burn them, you know, because they got that cover. And then get some really fatty sour cream and then maybe whip some Philadelphia cream cheese in there to make it even naughtier. And then chop in that scallion. And make a true sour cream and then top the potatoes, but always make more potatoes than you need. And the next day they make great chips, home fries, and hashes.
I cannot wait
Fantastic.
For summer.
Fantastic. Christian, thank you so much for sharing this time with us. We certainly appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. You guys are awesome, man. You guys both have beautiful voices.
Hey, well, attaboy, DJ Barbecue. I don't know
appreciate about all that.
It, man. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Hey, last one, really quick, 10-second question. Beer or bourbon while you're grilling?
Oh, a bit of both. A snifter of bourbon or whiskey, and then a cold beer every time.
Nice.
There it is, man.
DJ Barbecue. Go get his book. And some of the recipes are on our website as well.
And check him out on YouTube as well. DJ Barbecue, we appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
He is the best. What a fun conversation that was, huh?
So great.
It was amazing. Hey, Seasoned is produced by Robin Doyen-Aiken and Katie Tolarski. Thanks to Carmen Baskoff, who helped us out with the phones today. Go to our website right now and you can get recipes from DJ Barbecue's grilling books. You'll find a few that we mentioned here this hour, plus some we didn't quite get to. And we guarantee you'll have fun making them, I promise you. Visit ctpublic.org/seasoned and click the recipes tab on the right. I'm Chef Plum.
And I'm Marisol Castro. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great long weekend with lots of cooking outdoors. Fingers crossed the weather holds up.
I'm grilling right now.
See you next week.